Music matters. Mm-mm. No. Music matters. Oh, that's worse. Music matters.
Welcome to Music Matters Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch. You know those people, the ones you talk to that you can't help but smile the whole time you're talking to them? And you get done with the conversation and you literally feel like you could take on the world. That's this conversation right here with Dr. Roger Hale today. I felt like my face hurt from smiling the whole time we were talking. If you don't know Roger, he has the coolest YouTube channel, and he unpacks how he got started with that in this episode. He also drops some really great advice and some tips for how to get started if you're looking to try something new, whether that's a YouTube channel, a podcast, something new in rehearsal, I don't know, a new hobby, knitting, crocheting, I don't know, whatever it is. He talks about what you can do to really jump out into the unknown. I had the privilege of working with Roger for just a short while. Our paths overlapped for a second in grad school when he was finishing up his doctorate and I was working on my master's. But I went back and explored his website and some of the things he was doing between those times when I was in school with him and now. And it's epic. You've got to check out his website. Go follow and subscribe to his page on YouTube and listen to this episode, because it is sure to put a smile on your face. It was a joy to record, and I'm really excited to share today's little teaching tip with Dr. Roger Hale.
Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Hale. I'm so glad to see you today. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here with you, Emmy.
I'm thrilled that you are willing to share your expertise. Now, in case no one knows you, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, but your YouTube channel is the bomb, and my students found you without me giving them direction, which is so cool because we go back to your doctoral years and my master's years. So, perfect opportunity, introduce yourself to the listeners, who is Dr. Roger Hale.
Awesome. So, I am from Utah, and right now I live back in Utah, but I've traveled all over the country, did my doctorate with where, like Emmy said, at Florida State, and had an incredible experience there. I taught at Missouri Western State University after that in St. Joseph, Missouri. And now I live in a beautiful place called Ivins, Utah. It's down by Zion National Park. If you've ever seen pictures of it,
it's on just, my list. I have to come visit.
Yes, you do. There's red cliffs just right out my front window. It's the desert, but it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the desert and a beautiful part of the world. So, I teach at Dixie State University now, and people say, what at Dixie State? What is that? Well, it's kind of a funny story, but this in the 1800s was the middle of nowhere. I mean, right now it's the middle of nowhere, but it was really the middle of nowhere then. So Brigham Young said, all right, I need these people to go down to southern Utah and start growing cotton. Well, they were growing cotton, and so the name Dixie kind of stuck. You know, it was Utah's Dixie. So that's kind of why it's called Dixie State. And so they would grow. Yeah. So they grew cotton down here, and they had the weather's really nice all year long. It gets pretty hot in the summer, but they could have a temperate climate so that they could grow things year round. We don't get snow here like they do in northern Utah and things like that. So anyway, that's when you say Dixie State, that's why it's called Dixie State. So
okay, good to know. That's gonna have to be the featured clip, because I know a lot of people have asked. I've heard that question before.
Yeah, what is that? So what I lead the choirs at Dixie State, chamber singers and a concert choir and the women's chorus, and I teach choral conducting and choral literature, and just absolutely love working here. Great colleagues and amazing students.
And you can see those students on your YouTube channel. I feel like I That's know what right. your performing arts hall looks like. You rehearse in that beautiful facility.
Yes. So when they made this building, it's about 15 years old now, just a gorgeous building, but budget restriction said, well, what room are we going to cut? And they said, well, let's cut the choral rehearsal hall. Well, you know, it's not all bad. They said, and you just rehearse in the concert hall all the time. And I said, oh, darn.
What a bummer.
Yeah, it's great. We've got 2 9-foot Steinways in the hall that we can use. And it's a great facility. I'm really grateful to my colleagues. We do have to work around concert season. We have to move to a different spot, maybe a day or so here and there. But anyway.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And you have so much choral expertise to bring to the conversation. But what we're talking about today is how you got this really amazing and relatively well-known YouTube channel. How did you get into the YouTube world?
So this was an accident. The first video I put up was how to make whole wheat bread.
I have watched it.
So when I lived in Missouri, my brother was visiting and I said, well, let's just try to put a YouTube video up. So I used Windows Movie Maker and just made this multi-angle video of how to make bread and decided to put it up because people kept asking for my recipe. Anyway, I did that, and I didn't do a whole lot after that on YouTube. I put a few things here and there, you know, concert recordings, but very rarely, just to share with my students. Then when I moved here to St. George, I got asked to be on the NAFME Choral Council. And so they have representatives from each region of NAFME, and so I'm from the Western region here. And it's a really wonderful council. It's been chaired by Debbie Glaze, who's at Portland State. And anyway, we basically advised the executive council for NAFME. And so we were working on a project that really didn't go anywhere, but we were trying to help people in choral conductors in India get some sort of a certification or something through NAFME. And that's still in the works, but more at the executive level now. And so they said, well, could one of you make a video just to show proper tone and vocal warm-up, vowel shape and things like that? So I set up my phone looking at me from the piano, and we had a department camera I did from the side, and I have an old Zoom camera I bought in Missouri, and I put it from behind to get a back angle, and I just pushed record and then went into iMovie and just learned how. It took a long time, but I learned how to do the different angles and a little bit of zoom, and I had a lot of fun with the zoom and pan just to learn the process. And I sent that video out to 5 people, and I said, hey, just is this what you're looking for? They said, yeah, that looks great, we'll get back to you. Well, nothing ever happened with that, so I just forgot about it. And about, November, that was in February of 2018, November of 2018, all of a sudden, people started to watch this video. I have no idea. Somehow the algorithms of YouTube, or somebody, it must have caught a lot of interest, and people started warming up their choirs with it. And so I've heard teachers that say, hey, when I have to go and have a substitute come into class that's not, a musician per se, they just put that on and the choir warms up to it.
That's so a smart idea.
I thought, well, that's cool. That's not what I thought would happen. But once that happened, I was able to get more videos up, and the subscribers just started going like crazy. And it really did take about a year for it to really start flying. And after that, it's, about 1,500 subscribers per month.
Wow.
And,
that's big.
It's really been crazy. So in the hopping months, I get about 7,000 views a day.
Wow.
So on all of my videos. And so it's really neat. I mean, I have Facebook friends from all over the world that I have never met. And it's fun. They send me pictures. There's a guy from the Philippines. His name's Herbie. And he's friended me, and he showed me a picture of his children's church choir. And just, it's amazing. We've been talking about the pandemic because he's in the Philippines and I'm in Ivins, Utah, but we're both experiencing the exact same thing on different sides of the planet. And, you know, I wrote a little Mother's Day song recently and he said, can I have the sheet music? And so he goes, I'm going to teach my children this song. Aww. And it was just so cool. Things like that. But people all over the world, I have to use Google Translate sometimes to communicate with people and, you know, in all countries of the world, just to share ideas and just make friends. It's been really fun.
So it started as accidental and you made the decision to make more. Was that scary when you were making that decision?
No, I just really come from the attitude that, and my wife doesn't like this very much, I just put things out there sometimes, you know, like one time I recorded myself singing Happy Birthday while playing the accordion and tap dancing, you know, that is not live. That's an unlisted video.
And I was going to say, I want to see that one.
Maybe I'll put it out there someday, but I sent it to my sister and I stutter in it because I could not find the right chord progression in the accordion. But it's kind of funny because I go, happy brr. And just go over and over, and it just sounds like I'm hiccuping, but I'm tap dancing and everything, and it's something else. So maybe that will be a future release to the world.
So what I hear you saying is you don't get embarrassed. You're not nervous to put your things out there.
I feel like this is me, and you're going to get me in all of my quirkiness and not. And I think my wife's first journal entry in her journal was, I met this guy named Roger. He's a real cheese ball, but fun to have at parties. So that's my first impression to her. So that's kind of what I am, you know? And I think if you watch my YouTube videos, I do some pretty funny things, I think they're funny, but anyway, you'll see things like that. And I think I just have to, I'm not always this way. Sometimes I'm guarded, but I had to get to that point with these to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's not going to be perfect. People know I'm human. You can't let every dislike click on YouTube affect your self-esteem. It's like Clifford Madsen said, you know, who claps for you?
Yes.
It's not every viewer on YouTube. That's yes. For sure. It's not every comment. Because there are some people that just start writing and you're like, whoa, that kind of could be very hurtful. But it doesn't really matter to me. You know, I can see there are lots of people that are enjoying and using my stuff. And once I got to that point, I just start putting it out there. And
that's the biggest takeaway, I think. You have great content and great quality, and it really resonates. I mean, I found your first warm-up video because one of my students in an in-class project Googled warm-ups for choir, and yours was the first video that popped up. And it was so neat to hear this sophomore, junior music ed major describe your sequence and then try to imitate a couple of your sequences for her in-class model. It was fascinating to see. And I don't think that was kind of along the lines of why you made the videos, to help.
Sure, yeah.
But you really just, you put it out there and you know that you're happy with your product, even though it's not perfect.
Sure,
it's kind of mistakes.
It's hard to go back and look at your early videos sometimes, you know?
Let's not talk about that. You should really do early podcasts. It's getting better, but you're right. You just have to get out there and put yourself out there. So I want to talk more in a future episode about you have a great website. You have this fabulous tool called Solfa Singer. You've found out how to use technology. So what are some of the ways, how did you learn how to use iMovie? How did you learn how to set up the cameras this way? What are some tips for someone out there getting started?
Sure. So iMovie is pretty simple. The hardest part is just aligning the audio with the video. And so I was at a national ACDA conference. I don't remember which one, but there was somebody from University of Miami. He was a grad student and he just showed the simple that you just clap your hands. You just go take one and do a loud clap. And that loud spike helps you see the video audio and the microphone audio if you do separate to line it up. And that was huge for me. I just learned that at an ACDA conference. So then I've watched quite a few YouTube videos on how to do camera settings, a little bit about depth of field to make the background blurry. I bought my first camera. It's the camera I still have and use from a freshman college student here that used to be in photography club at his high school. And just that wasn't really his interest anymore. And he put it on the classifieds. And I went and bought it on campus one day. And, you know, I use a microphone I bought on Craigslist. This is the microphone right here.
Yeah.
An Apogee. And it, you know, it was under $100 and it just plugs straight into USB. I, you know, dumpster dove for a tripod. And I fixed, yep, there you go. I have a tripod that I screwed together because one of the legs didn't work. I do have a better one now, but I use that as a second angle tripod. I got a boom mic stand from a garage sale next door. I mean, this is really about as hodgepodge of a project as anyone could have, you know, but I did it under a budget. And just like my bread making video, the only reason I learned to make bread, well, I wanted to be able to do it, but we did it because I was a music educator and it saved so much money. It cost only 90 cents to make a batch of bread a week and it tasted way better.
It sure does.
You know, so anyway, that's kind of how my life rolls is find out a way to make a solution and do it cheaply, and you can make it still good, you know? So that's how I live. And we found a nice piano from somebody just about 10 miles away that we did splurge a little bit on. But now we have a nice piano, at least in our living room. My kids love playing it, but I can do a lot of my videos with a nice piano now, which is a really nice perk. So you
had a need, you wanted to make more videos, you found the materials, you didn't go crazy on it, you weren't afraid to put your stuff out there, you were willing to see past the dislikes and the negative comments. I'm really glad we're having this conversation because I've heard in a couple different panels talking about advocacy that now is the time to really tell the story. And I think the best way to tell the story is through getting comfortable with different platforms.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on YouTube? You said you said the algorithm picked up out of nowhere. Do you have any tips for someone getting started with their channel, how to raise awareness for their channel?
So I use something called TubeBuddy, and it's just it was a paid thing. But what was nice is they had a sale and I could just pay once. It was $30 for lifetime. It wasn't a subscription. And I don't know if they offer that anymore, but it was so cool because it shows, you know, recommendations on tagging your YouTube videos that will have a bigger chance of being searched for and things like that. It gives you hints of steps like how to put your, they're called cards. They're the little thing that comes up across the top of the screen where it says click above, click this link. You can choose where those show up on your video to kind of optimize your viewership. Also your end screen, you can choose which videos to put up there at the end. You know, it recommends that how many words you put in your title and your description. Another thing is subtitles. If you put subtitles in your YouTube videos, it can be translated to more people in the world, and it increases the searchability of your YouTube video because it adds that dialogue for your entire video into the database that Google has. It's not just a letter and word restricted description box, which is really important what you put in there too. So all those things are called SEO, you know, search engine optimization. It's really just figuring out how best to connect with your audience. I really don't do a lot of social media except Facebook. So I try to put stuff out there. Like if I have a video that I think will be useful, I post it on my Facebook page. I might do it on the Utah ACDA page. I did it once on the ACDA app, just saying, hey, here's some things. And I got some response from different people there because that has kind of a notification thing that people get if you're on that. Anyway, you can't really go into it thinking you're going to stop your day job.
No, I don't think I want to stop my day job.
Me neither. But it has sure enhanced my day job by opening up so many opportunities, like I said, to connect and ideas. I've just, that's the neatest part about this whole thing.
This is such, it's a short episode, and I want to do this on purpose because I want the listeners to get to know you. I know that you're coming back to talk about some of the other technologies that you've created, but I think this is the perfect clip for getting over the fear of getting started. You've said, don't worry about it being perfect. You don't have to buy all new stuff, find things that work, and then just put it out there for people and don't be afraid of the thumb down or the dislikes. So
that's right. All right.
What would be one thing that you want to leave the listeners with, knowing you're going to come back on the show and talk all about the technology and Solfa Singer and all the other resources that you've discovered in that world? What's one thing about overcoming fears and starting something new that you'd like to say?
So don't be afraid that you're going to break something. You can't break anything. Okay.
You can't break YouTube.
You can't break YouTube. You know, don't be worried about what people are going to say. There's so many safety nets out there anyway. If something small and wrong happens, you can remove the video. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But go ahead and try. You know what? Like, I'm not afraid to open up a cell phone and try to fix it. I figure in the end, I would have learned something, even if I can't fix a cell phone I drop in a pool. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so just don't be afraid. And I think sometimes as musicians, as choral musicians, we are so performance oriented that we want that perfect product for our audience to see, when in actuality, they just want to come and feel the warmth of you. They want to feel your spirit. They want to see the happiness on the faces. And if somebody just comes to a choral concert just to pick it apart, that's what they do for everything. So don't, that's just that small percentage. So go into it and just let people see you and who you are. And you have enough good to give. There's so much good that every single music educator has to give out there. And really just your warmth. And don't worry about who is giving you a thumbs up or not. Just have fun. And you may not get that many views, but what if you got, you know, 5 views that really made a difference out there? That's what it's all about. It's just like teaching in your classroom, you know. Okay. You'll get 3 students that will really remember you, and you will make an impact. And the other 80 will remember your name and say, oh, that was fun. But those 3 students, you know, you met with them privately and just heard about a trouble, you know, a difficulty they're having at home. That's what really sticks. That's the thing that will stick. So just be you and don't be afraid. Just put it out there and have fun. If there's any way I can help. If there's any way I can help, let me know. I mean, shoot me an email. Say, hey, do you have any suggestions on this or that? I'm more than willing to share anything I've learned because it's all been just along the path.
Oh, that is so well said. I have not stopped smiling this whole conversation. I feel like every time I talk to you, I could take on the universe and I'm not afraid of falling flat on my face.
Yay.
I hope one person listening, at least, maybe 3, feels motivated to step up and just try something. What's really great about this episode is it will come out right before the interview with Jessica and Rebecca with the new Dr. Johnson book.
Awesome.
So if you don't know the story of Who Claps For You, which is really what this all goes back to, if you don't know the story of Who Claps For You, it's written out really well in that book. And that episode is coming up here shortly. So that'll be really good.
Well, I look forward to hearing that too. So it's thank you.
One. I'm so thankful to know you. I can't believe that I got to be in school with y'all. Like looking back, I think I took such advantage of the intelligence in front of me. So I'm glad I'm able to really tap into it now that I have the mental bandwidth to handle it.
Well, likewise, Emmy. I look forward to hearing more of your great stuff.
Well, thank you. So. I'm going to ignore all the thumb downs.
There you go.
Oh, this is great. Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Okay. Thank you.
Let people see you. How empowering is that? What a fun little episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you feel empowered and excited to jump into whatever the unknown that lies before you. We're all in this together. Whatever you're doing, it matters. I'm so glad that you spent time listening today and that we can be friends on this podcast. If you need a cheerleader, I'm here for you. You can check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/musicedmatters. Next week, I have a huge announcement coming on that page, by the way, but don't worry. I'll tell you all about it. I'm going to jump into my unknown. Anyway, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Know that whatever you're doing, it matters. And you matter. And this is Music Matters. And I'll see you next time.